Imagine Dragons, Loom World Tour, live in Salt Lake City, Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater, Friday, October 11th. The brand new album, Loom, is available everywhere June 28th. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. For more, visit ImagineDragonsMusic.com.
Are you ready to start your journey as a small business owner? Ready to start something bold? Something groundbreaking? Utah is the startup capital of the world, and we're setting a new global standard for innovation and entrepreneurship. So if you're thinking about starting a new business or looking to grow an existing business, this is where you'll find the resources to make it happen. Visit startup.utah.gov today and start something here.
And now, it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
The KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson, thank you for making us a part of your NCAA Tournament Friday. Ben, we are live once again today at JCW's, albeit a different location. Yesterday, shout out to the American Fork location. They were great. Thanks to everybody for coming. We had a terrific time. A bunch of listeners came by. We were super excited about it. And today, we expect the same, Ben. So if you're listening to the show, we're at JCW's in Harriman, right off the Mountain View Corridor. And what is this right out here, Ben? 118 South?
Something like that.
Right here on the corner. I mean, it's super easy to get to. Tons of places to park. TVs galore. We'll have all the games on, and this is going to be a great place for you to watch it. And since it's just 10 o'clock right now, Ben, there's still plenty of time to, like, work up your excuse.
Start
or
coughing.
Whatever.
Start coughing now.
I don't know. You know, client meeting.
Work, I got
it. It's going to be long.
Boss, I got to go, man. I think this is contagious.
It's
whatever this is, I can't be here.
You got to figure it out. And the good thing is you have time to figure it out, which is great because the first games don't start until actually 10 minutes, but things don't really get going until up towards 11. Game number two, Colgate and Baylor start at 10:40, and then UAB and San Diego State at 11:45. So by noon, by lunchtime, we're in full swing, and I love it that we get started as early as 10:15. We've got 9-seed Northwestern against 8-seed Florida Atlantic.
For the right to play UConn in the next round.
In the East region.
A couple of Utah games this weekend, right? Utah men's basketball back in the NIT on Sunday. Utah women kicks off the tournament tomorrow night. So we'll talk to Michelle about that coming up as well. Hopefully catch up with Scotty G. Talk about some Utah State. They're playing tonight, the late game.
How did your bracket turn out yesterday, Ben?
I've lost one Sweet 16 bracket because I had Kentucky actually not losing to Oakland in the first round, and then I had Texas Tech beating NC State. So I had them in the round of 32, and neither will be playing one another. So I need something. I had Texas Tech in the Elite Eight also.
How many?
So I'm in trouble. I'm a little bit of trouble.
How many total points did you have? Do you know?
Total points. Oh, man, how do you even look that up?
You go to the groups.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway.
I'll pull it up.
But just for the sake of our show here, I had 20 total points in the first round. First round.
How about one of our guys, Darren B., in the KSL Sports Group, has 30 points. Killing it. Did you get all of them right?
Here,
do you have a perfect bracket? What's going on with you? I also have 20 points.
You also have 20 points.
Yeah.
Sarah, how many points did you have on the first day?
I think I also had 20 points as well.
Wow, we're all tied?
We didn't do very good. That means none of us did very well.
I didn't lose a Sweet 16 team.
Okay. So you're better than me there.
I mean, I missed on some. Like, I had Kentucky over Oklahoma, or Oklahoma, Oakland as well. But I did have NC State beating Texas Tech. Thank you very much. And then I actually had NC State then beating Kentucky to go to the Sweet 16. So my NC State to the Sweet 16. I don't want to jinx it here, Ben.
But it's alive.
But it's actually looking...
They just need to get past Oakland?
Looking pretty good. Yeah.
I actually had Oakland upsetting Kentucky.
Hey, Sarah.
Well, we need this Golkey kid. We need Jimmer 2.0, who ate up all the skills of Reed Sheppard from Kentucky, just assumed everything he did, and we need him to stop. Because if he hits 10 threes again, you guys are both going to be in trouble.
Here were my misses yesterday, Ben. Kentucky.
Yep.
The Cougs.
Yep.
I had the Cougs beating Duquesne. Mississippi State, which... Michigan State is terrible. Yeah. How did that happen?
Well, they win every first-round matchup. I don't know why I thought that wouldn't be the case.
South Carolina, I give Oregon a lot of credit. They're playing really well right now.
They are.
I had Colorado State over Texas, missed on that. And I had Nevada over Dayton. Thanks a lot, Mountain Worst. Come on. We've got San Diego State today starting at, what time? 11:45, I think. We need the Mountain Worst to get it together.
Yeah, I had Nevada, Drake, BYU, Texas Tech, Kentucky. I think those were my whiffs. Oh, and USC. Thanks for nothing, USC.
San Diego State.
By the way, USC, South Carolina, not USC, the Troj, who were terrible this year.
Yes, they were. San Diego State plays UAB at 11:45. So you think the Mountain Worst would have a chance to...
We'll see.
I have a Pac-12 related tournament question for our next guest. She covers the Utes for KSLSports.com. She does terrific work. She's our friend Michelle Botkin. What's going on, Michelle?
Oh, you know, just getting prepared for a crazy, crazy weekend for the Utes.
Before we get to the Utes, do you find it as hilarious as I do that Oregon State and Washington State get all of the units that the Pac-12 earns this year? So every game that Oregon wins or Colorado wins or whatever, all that dough is going to Oregon State and Washington State?
It is kind of funny and it's kind of sad, but I think, you know, at the end of the day, just because of how everything played out and where that left Oregon State and Washington State, you know, good for them. Like, they deserve to get something out of this. Everyone else kind of, you know, found a way to benefit and it be okay, at least for a year or two. We'll see, you know, what ultimately ends up happening with this whole thing. I don't think we're done by a long shot, but... you know, they're the ones that got left in a precarious situation. So, you know what, if they reap the benefits of others' hard work, you know, I think that's probably more than fair considering just where they got left. So,
let's start with Utah men. Sorry, Michelle. Let's start with Utah men before we get to the women. Hosting Iowa coming up on Sunday, coming off of a win in the opening round. Do you expect excitement around this NIT run to build if they keep winning games?
I kind of suspect it probably will. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, this is a really great opportunity. Utah potentially could play three games at home. Obviously, they get to play two. We'll see what happens after this next round. But there could be a third game at the Huntsman Center. And I don't think it can be stated enough just what Brandon Carlson has meant for that program. Between all the records he set, between the loyalty, and just some of the excitement he brings to the court, this is just a really great opportunity, I think, for Utah fans to enjoy him for just a little bit longer at home where they can see him and cheer him on. So I hope people will show up more. I know Tuesday was a little bit hard. 9 o'clock on a Tuesday is just woof. Like, nobody wants to do that. Everybody has school and work and some of that kind of stuff. So I don't really blame anyone for not showing up to that one, but hopefully they'll be here for the Sunday game. I think it's a little bit of a more intriguing matchup and you know, just a better time to have a game.
So, Michelle, I want to broaden it out about Utah basketball for a second here because it seems pretty amazing to me that their last tournament win was when Jakob Poeltl was playing, because he's now been, what, a salty NBA vet?
Right.
I mean, he's
on his third contract,
not even like a young player anymore. Who was the big they played against for Duke? Was it Jahlil Okafor that they lost to in the Sweet 16, right? And he's not even in the league anymore,
right.
You know? I mean, it was a long time ago. And, you know, you followed Utah sports you've covered them for a long time, but followed them for even longer. You know, this was such a great basketball program, you know, for a really extended period of time. What are the factors, in your opinion, that have led to the lack of success over now what's been a pretty long time?
Yeah, you know, I think it's just been some bad coaching hires. And I think basketball is a game, and by no means, like, I didn't really grow up in a basketball house, so I'm just kind of learning a lot of this as we go. But the way I kind of see it, the way I look at it, you know, from conversations I've had and some of that kind of stuff, I think basketball has just really, really drastically changed. You know, you have guys that can bounce after a year and go to the NBA. You have now guys that can also transfer anywhere they want to, or as many times as they want to, if they're not satisfied with the situation there. So, you know, I think this Utah program for a long, long time hung its hat on, you know, we are a great institution. We make all these runs in the NCAA tournament. And at some point it switched, but Utah didn't switch. Kids and players, they don't care about that anymore. They don't care about the history. They don't care about the pride. They care about, you know, what they're going to get for it and how quickly they can get it. And I think that's also been a bit of a problem, but I think you've had coaches that have kind of kept trying to, you know, push or sell, you know, this great history. And I don't think that matters anymore. So it's not something that's really going to reel in anybody. So I think the mindset has to change. I think Craig Smith is kind of getting it, but it also takes a lot of cooperation from a lot of different people, right? It's not just Craig Smith that has to, you know, make these sales pitches. It's, you know, boosters have to be willing to cough up the coin. for the time being, that's, you know, how that's set up. And I know that it's sometimes hard to part with money when you feel like you're investing in a product that's inferior. So there's a little bit of a double-edged sword there as well, I think. But I'm not as pessimistic as a lot of people. I think I'm seeing, you know, some progress and some steps in the right direction. And maybe, hopefully, a healthy marriage of the concept of, you know, building a good culture and hanging your hat on the history, because I do think that's still important, but I just don't think that's the biggest selling point to these kids. And so I think now the move is just kind of adjusting and getting the money aspect and what you get out of being here aspect in line. And as soon as they do that, I think you'll start seeing this program take off a little bit more. Like I said, I think we're seeing signs of it. I think this NIT run is a big, big deal for this program. But, you know, there is more work to be done.
Does Utah women opening on the road in Spokane as opposed to hosting their opening round games significantly change how far you think they can go in this tournament, considering they might end up facing Gonzaga in what would be a home game for the Zags in the second round?
Yeah. I mean, it certainly makes it more difficult, right? And I was actually just re-listening to an interview that Lynn Roberts did after they found out where they were going, and she talked about how the basketball culture up there in Spokane at Gonzaga is really good. And so, you know, they expect great crowds and people being really excited and invested in the fact that not only they're there, but the other three teams, including the home team Gonzaga, are there. So, you know, I think that makes it a little more difficult when, you know, you're the crowd is not with you per se, but, you know, this is a pretty battle tested team. They have four top 10 wins on the season, and they kind of did it without some of their key players. So I think that speaks a lot to their ability to get this done. And you know, the Pac-12 is a crazy conference when it comes to women's basketball. Obviously, we talk about it a little bit differently in regard to the men's game, but women's basketball is kind of where it's at there. So I think they're prepared. I think they're ready. I think they can probably get back to the Sweet 16. I don't know if they can make it further like they kind of wanted to. I think not having Gianna and Izzy is probably going to put some limits on exactly how far they can go. But I think they can make a pretty good run. And I think, you know, matching what they did last year would be a fantastic goal for this team.
How's their health going into it, Michelle? Because that's obviously been an issue all year.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still not expecting Izzy. Izzy's situation is a little bit odd. And so it's just kind of one of those things. She could be ready to go. She could not be ready to go. I'm expecting her not to be ready to go. Obviously, no Gianna. Hers was season ending, so she's not going to be available. Let's see, when was that? That was the Washington game, the final home game for Utah, the season closer against Washington. Deja Young, I believe, hurt her shoulder. And as we saw in the Pac-12 tournament, she was a little bit limited as to her minutes. I expect her to be in a little bit better shape. But then you look at Inesh Vieira that got the crap absolutely being out of her against UCLA. So I think, you know, I mean, she continued to play despite having two stoppages to kind of peel her off the court twice. But I think she'll be ready to go. And then, you know, you have someone like Jenna Johnson that had three sets of stitches within like a 2-week span. She's going to be playing as well. So I think everyone that's actually available to them will play. And hopefully, you know, this little bit of a break allows them to just go into it a little bit healthier.
Michelle, thank you very much, as always, for jumping on with us. We always look forward to it. Enjoy, if you can, your busy weekend, but also try and take in a little tourney.
Well, I will be up in Spokane with the women and keeping tabs on Utah gymnastics and then most likely keeping tabs of the men from afar. So it's going to be a busy weekend, but it should be fun.
Thanks, Michelle. You're the best.
Have fun, Michelle. Thank you.
All right, that's the one and only Michelle Bodkin, covers the Utes for KSLSports.com. And, yes, she's got a lot going on right now.
I think a Sweet 16 run from the Utah women should be expected. I think that's fair. I think they can beat Gonzaga. I think they're probably better than the 5 seed that they ended up drawing. What do they have, 3 top 10 wins this season, including a number 1 seed in USC on the road? So they can win on the road. That's not a big deal for them at all. So I'm thinking a Sweet 16 and then go out and stun Texas or whoever you end up playing. That's who you're going to run into. And then, yeah, men, extend your livelihood a little bit. You agreed to go to the NIT. You won your first game. Might as well make a push.
Florida Atlantic and Northwestern off to a roaring start.
Jeez, looks like the BYU game.
2-1.
3 minutes in.
3 minutes in. 2-1. We'll see what happens. I will say this, Ben. It was fun to be in the building last night. I was doing jazz, obviously, but our studio there at Delta Center. And It was cool to see the...
Did you poke your head in?
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Tons of fans there. Jamil went to the producer of Jazz Broadcast. He went to the first session, and he said it was packed.
Yep.
Packed in the morning. And, yeah, good on everybody who supported that whole thing, because it obviously isn't just the fans of the teams that are there.
Not to take this as an opportunity to insult Utah basketball, which I feel like I've done too much lately, but it's like that's what's so weird about what's going on with the Utah men's program. This is a basketball town.
Yeah, I don't know if it's weird anymore, though. That's the thing. That's what I was kind of thinking, like, they've been bad for so long. Is it really that weird?
Yeah, it is, because we're a basketball town, because we can have an NCAA tournament game or you know, host the opening round on a Thursday and get a lot of energy and get a lot of people up in the building. And obviously they support it out in Logan. They support it out in Provo. So it's weird that in Salt Lake City, Utah men and I don't blame the fans. It's not the fans' fault they stopped going to a bad product. It's what people do. You get a bad product, people stop going. And it's been a really bad product for a while. So I'm surprised it's dropped off that far because this is a basketball town. It has rich basketball talent, but apparently it just has not translated up on the Hill.
I'm trying to find it, Ben, and maybe I saw it on Twitter, but they released the schedule for Saturday. And, oh, here it is. This is why the NCAA – like, listen, I think the NCAA gets criticized probably too much, honestly, just because they get blasted all the time. But they make decisions that don't make any sense. So on Saturday, there will be two games in Salt Lake, and they put them in the morning. 10:45 tip between Dayton and Arizona, and then a 1:15 tip between Gonzaga and Kansas. Isn't the point of having a Western location to put it
– in the afternoon.
In the afternoon or evening, isn't that like the entire idea? Now, listen, I'm for more sports being played during the day here in this market. I don't like getting stuck at night, so maybe I shouldn't complain. But that doesn't make any sense.
No, because these are the early games. It's not like they're doing this because they're trying to work around somebody else's schedule. No, the Eastern Conference game should be early because it's already noon there, or 2 o'clock there if you want to have a noon Pacific game. But yeah, that's a 9:45 Pacific game on the West Coast. 10:45 here, the first game, Dayton at Arizona. Good matchups, though.
Sure.
Dayton, Arizona, Gonzaga, Kansas, that's great. Both pretty centrally located. Not Dayton necessarily, but the other two.
So the late night game will be at 9:40 Eastern, Ben, and that's going to be played in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, right, 9:40 Eastern. Played in the Eastern time zone. You're right, that's moronic.
It just doesn't make
any
sense.
That's some idiots running the show.
Yeah, and I guess maybe you think that the West region is the best, and that's going to be all alone on CBS, doesn't have to split with TBS and True TV, so maybe that's the factor, but okay.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. You're right.
Okay.
No, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Sounds good. All right, we're up to 4-4 now between Northwestern and Florida Atlantic. So
call that a barn burner, Jake.
Shots are starting to fall, Ben. We'll talk about yesterday's action. We'll talk about BYU. We'll talk about the Jazz.
Okay.
We are live from JCW's in Harriman, which we would encourage you to come see us. Are you going to get the same thing today, Ben, or are you going to switch it up?
I think I might go with the fish and chips. I saw those guys eating it yesterday, and it looked so good.
You did. You came over and you commented. You're like, that might be my jam.
I might have to do that.
Come on out and see us. We're out here at the Harriman location right off the Mountain View Corridor. And 118th South. It's really easy to get to. Stop by, see us, watch the games. It's the Jake and Ben Show, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season two of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to break down the biggest stories of the day.
Let's go.
This is the top three stories of the day on KSLSports.com. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. Built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
Oh, it's Jake and Ben. 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone, live at JCW's in Harriman. Come see us. Oh, Sarah.
We were talking about Sarah's high variance rock bands before the show.
Very funny. High variance rock bands. Yeah, where their best is just great and their worst is so bad.
We built the city on rock and roll.
And Jefferson Airplane / Starship was kind of my answer.
Yep.
You know what else is honestly an answer? And we got to be, you know, think about it. Mm-hmm. But Queen is that.
Okay. Sure.
Their whole thing is a bad little, Queen.
Their whole thing is a little kitschy in general, right? Like
right.
They're a little glammy and kitschy, etc. And that's kind of the joke. But yeah, Bad Queen. Oof.
Like I played the music video Under the Bridge from Red Hot Chili Peppers today for my daughter, and there's a band that's just consistently good. You know, they don't really do a whole lot of bad stuff. Now maybe you say it all sounds alike, which I'd listen to that argument, but it's not really like awful.
So did Jefferson Airplane just get bad when Grace Slick left, or what was the deal? Is that what happened?
I think she was still with the Starship.
Still Starship, okay.
No, I think they
I honestly don't
they,
know their history very well.
They started out as like a Haight-Ashbury hippie band mm-hmm. from San Francisco, and then that started making money, and then some record exec was like,
got his hands on
hey, how about let's move on into the 80s, shall
let's get
we?
Poppy.
Let's make this happen.
Okay.
All right, time for the top three stories of the day at KSLSports.com, brought to you by Jay Brooks Jewelers. Two locations to serve you, one on Winchester Street across from Fash Place Mall, the other at Traverse Mountain in Lehigh. All right, Sarah, where are we starting today?
Number one, BYU is out in round one of the tourney.
Jake, I hate to say that all the things we talked about, why you lose tournament games or the reasons you lose tournament games, but we kind of saw it, right? I mean, unfortunately for BYU, their issue was as long as they make shots, they're going to win games. And they did not make their threes at a high enough rate. That was a problem. But, man, they were less athletic than Duquesne, which should not have been an issue with how well they played throughout the Big 12 season and kind of surprised everybody. And then when they needed to create shots late in games with your guards, their guards don't have the ability to do that. They can't generate easy baskets. And that was the case for Duquesne. They were more athletic. And when they needed to take guys, I'm not trying to name anyone specifically, but like Spencer Johnson off the dribble, they got layups. It's just that's what happens in the last 5 minutes of close basketball games. You've got to go ISO. You've got to be able to score. And good guards score. And that's why we say it's a tournament. The tournament is about guard play. That was a perfect example of it.
That was a super disappointing loss for the Cougs. Not all tournament losses are disappointing like that. Like if Utah State loses to TCU, I don't know if I'd call that disappointing.
Sure.
It would be a sense that Utah State had a great year, but you know, TCU's a pretty good opponent and a pretty good opponent against Utah State. To your point, I don't think any of that was true about BYU and the Dukes. Now, we knew the Duquesne was going to come out. What were they going to do, Ben? They were going to play uber hard because they're playing for their retiring coach, so they were going to go out there and win one for the Gipper. Teams like that are old and disciplined. You knew they were going to guard and play play tough defense. And that should have – that was all going to be true. You could have planned on that going into the game, and BYU still should have won. And BYU didn't play well and still should have won.
Yep.
I mean, they erased big leads like four times during that game and should have been able to, you know, pull away. in my opinion, I think BYU kind of in a way beat themselves. But that's what adds to the disappointment factor. And let me add two things to that, Ben, because one, the team wasn't ready to play. Duquesne was ready to play. BYU was not ready to play. Now, Hance was talking to me yesterday about things like routine and the early game and disruption and all that stuff. And all that stuff is absolutely true and is a factor. You're playing in a weird gym. You know, what are the shot sight lines?
Sure.
You know, all those sorts of things are all true. But that's what the coaching staff's for.
Absolutely.
You've got to have the team ready to go. You know, what to pull a Gene Hackman and measure up and to the rim. You know, just 10 feet, guys. Just 10 feet like our gym back home in Hickory. Whatever. BYU was not ready to go. And then the Cougs somehow, Ben, do you think they didn't find another gear against Duquesne? Like, okay, the threes aren't falling, so we got to find another way to beat this team. Do you think that's not available to them, or do you think that they just couldn't find it?
No, I think they got rattled because they didn't make shots early. And they were like, oh, this is how it goes bad. This is the narrative of how it goes bad. And instead of finding out how to get easy shots, they started missing easy ones. Like Traore had some that rimmed out. And some of that's random. But when Ali Khalifa and Traore combined to go 4 of 18 from the floor, and those are your big guys that are supposed to be able to get you easy baskets. And I know Khalifa took 4 threes and missed all of them. But those are the big guys who have to get you easy baskets that Duquesne was able to rely on and BYU could not. That's how you end up losing games. Those guys also only combined for 6 rebounds. Like, that's the issue.
But I know that Foo's 4 of 12, and 12 is a big number in college. So I realize that. So maybe this criticism, you can argue against it. I still felt like times they just went away from him when he was the best answer to go get what you're talking about as an easy bucket. There was a play in the Jazz game last night. And not to we'll talk about the Jazz in a second, but Keontae George was really struggling. And did you see him run his face into a defender on one possession? And I'm trying to remember who was defending on the play. I can't remember, but all Keontae George did was get up ahead of steam, put down his head like Craig Ironhead Hayward, and run into the guy.
Yep.
And his whole point was just to draw a foul so he could go to the line and get a couple of buckets, see it go in, and be productive. Because yep. He wasn't shooting the ball very well. Like, I felt like, you know, if they're going to – they didn't give BYU an inch to shoot threes, and so you needed to go somewhere else. I still think that was Foose on the block. And, again, 4 of 12.
Yep.
They gave him opportunities,
yep.
So maybe people would disagree with me. But when it's dry like that, or even at the beginning of the game, go to somebody who's going to give you an automatic bucket. And I don't think that's Khalifa. I think that's Foose.
Yep. I'm with you.
Right?
Absolutely. And BYU, again, their issue is they were a jump shooting team. And when jump shooting teams make shots, they can beat anybody. And when they don't, they can lose to anybody. And that's what happened.
Yep.
That's unfortunate. The other thing we talked about is how high-scoring wings can be deceptive in the tournament. Sometimes they can provide a little bit of false hope. And look, Jackson Robinson was awesome last night. I think he really boosted his draft stock. That's going to be the lasting memory. 5 of 11 from 3 was really the only BYU player who had any consistent rhythm, especially in the second half. But he had 25 points, and, yeah, they were able to go to him. He didn't get a shot off over the last 5 minutes, 7 minutes, something like that, despite the fact that he had it going.
He did enough.
Yeah, right. No,
they
it's not on him.
Yeah,
right.
They,
that's
like,
the problem,
he did
though.
Plenty.
Like, it's hard to get some of those guys involved late in games because they don't bring the ball up. That's where, again, guard play is so important. And if Jackson Robinson is not bringing the ball up to get BYU into sets or just draw up his own shots, you lose games.
Yeah, they're going to have to figure out other ways to win ball games, I think, if they're going to want to ultimately be, you know, the Elite Eight team that Ben Anderson predicted.
He's going to slide that in there?
Next,
that in.
Sarah.
To be fair, I didn't have them there in my bracket.
Number 2, the Jazz fall to the Mavs.
Also not going to the Elite Eight, the Utah Jazz.
No. They lost to the Dallas Mavericks last night, Ben, 113-97 in a game. And I hate to say this, but I found it wholly uninteresting.
Yep, even though it was, a 9-point game going into the fourth quarter, or maybe it was 11, but regardless, it was like...
Oh, it was kind of close all night.
In the modern NBA, you think, well, you hit a couple of threes and this is a game. It never felt like a game. I mean, outside of the Jazz having a first quarter lead, it just really never felt like a game. And it was the same thing about it against Oklahoma City. They played hard. They kind of kept it close. But these teams late in the season are just trying to save their legs, even though Dallas dunked the ball 18 times. That's not exactly a leg-saving move. But they were just waiting till the end of the game to put it away, and they did.
4 of 30 is what the Jazz shot from 3, which is just dreadful. Lauri Markkanen has not shot the ball well lately, and last night was not an exception. He was 1 for 9 for three. But I hardly felt like Dallas was even trying. You know, if I'm Will Hardy, I'm pretty bent out of shape about 10 dunks. 10 of 11 from Daniel Gafford?
Yep.
I mean, that's...
double-digit dunks.
That's embarrassing.
And I like Daniel Gafford. We've talked about him a little bit on
the
show.
I like him too, but you can't let anybody dunk on you 10 times. That's crazy.
Well, there was some lack of pride last night because Dallas, for the most part of the second half, was just running a layup line, right? I mean, it was just every time you looked up, it was a lob. They were running down the floor and getting easy baskets. It was just over and over and over attacking the paint. 62 points in the paint for the Mavericks. Yes, the Jazz had 60, but they were much louder points for Dallas.
Well, but Dallas doesn't pretend to play defense either.
Like I said, one of the, what, the worst defense in the NBA since the All-Star break?
Yeah.
I had to... thought maybe they were playing better. They weren't. Fast break points, 27 for Dallas, 12 of 14. So you've got a, what, 2.1, 2.2 point per possession? Or no, just under, because they had 14 possessions, excuse me. Just under 2 points per possession in transition. Meaning it's truly a layup line. Nobody's playing defense in that situation.
The Jazz gave up a dunk in transition because one player was saying my bad to another player? Did you see that one?
A lot of my bads on this team. Because there's a lot of bads on that team. I mean, the Jazz just aren't – the Jazz really have – I felt it last night. And again, I know it was close. It really feels like they've let go of the rope on the entire season.
Oh, it's because they have.
And I don't know if I got there last year. I think at times, like obviously late in the season when they were playing Luka Šamanić, they were playing all these guys late. Ochai Agbaji was really trying. Ochai Agbaji was really going out there and giving his all. And look, Bryce Sensabaugh was really playing hard last night. But this team, even with guys – that are going to be in the rotation next year, which for the most part, the last 10 games of the season last year didn't feature that, didn't let go of the rope as much as this roster.
Listen, there's more nuance in life to even a phrase like let go of the rope. Because the Jazz did play hard at times last night, but you know what? They're the second night on a back-to-back, and they're playing against the Mavericks, who are tough to guard to begin with, and you know what? The defensive effort wasn't where it needed to be. I don't think that means that they're going to stop trying in every game, but it does mean like the team is no longer interested in winning games. In fact, they're incentivized to lose games. And so does that have a trickle-down effect on the players in the locker room? 1,000%. Of course it does.
I asked you this 2 weeks ago, and you refused to answer. How many more wins does the Jazz get the rest of the year? They have 12 games left.
I don't know. I still, it's impossible. It's impossible to say, but I'll tell you this, it's not going to be many.
It's going to be...
Because they're trying to lose.
Yeah, two
so
or fewer.
So it's not going
I'm
to be...
I'm going to say two or fewer.
It's not going to be many.
Yep.
But never underestimate the other team's willingness to try and lose.
Yeah, we'll see.
Does Houston try and lose
Houston's
against the Jazz tomorrow
night?
Houston's
won 9 of 10. Houston's won 9 of 10. I think they have the longest streak in the NBA. They've won 7 in a row.
I know, but they're dumb. It doesn't mean that they shouldn't be trying to lose. Maybe they come to their senses.
They're going to win by 30.
Şengün's out.
Şengün's out, but Jalen Green has turned into a superstar in the NBA all of a sudden. So
I don't know.
Watch for Jalen Green tomorrow night. It's the last we'll talk about the Jazz today.
All right, what's next?
Number 3, the madness continues.
Well, Kentucky has to fire Coach Calipari, right?
Don't you have to? No, they cannot.
Well, what do you mean they cannot?
Did you see his buyout?
Who cares? It's Kentucky basketball. You got to start winning games. Look, they're paying these players. They're paying that roster more than they're paying Coach Calipari. You're losing with that roster, with that type of salary, yeah, you got to fire the coach if he can't get it done. Because you're paying those guys to come back next year.
I mean, that's easy enough for you to say, Ben, but they have to write a check for $30 million, $33 million just to say goodbye
Fine.
To him.
Go drum up a Kentucky oil baron.
But you know that's like 60% of their yearly television payout, right?
Sure.
Just to pay a coach to go away, that doesn't make a good business. And it goes down if you let him stay another year. Every year you let him stay, it goes down.
Yeah, I think you got to get rid of him. I think you got to bite the bullet and you got to move on. Now, I don't know who the awesome coach is you go out and hire. I don't know who the obvious name is. Somewhat ironically, had BYU maybe won more games, I think Mark Pope really could have been in that conversation and still could. But, yeah, man, my goodness. Paying Coach Calipari, who doesn't know how to draw up an offense to beat a zone defense, no idea. You've got the best freshman backcourt in the country.
But don't
you've got Rob Dillingham. And you have Reed Shepard, who are both going to be top 10 picks and maybe top 5 picks. And they combined for like 7 points. It was one of the worst coaching performances I've ever seen. And that's already been the MO for Coach Calipari.
That's what I'm saying. That's always been true. And he's found ways to win at a high level. Maybe not as much as people like, obviously, you expect. And
one
I can't believe I'm defending Coach Calipari.
One win in the
Calipari.
Last 5 years. He's gotten worse.
But he didn't forget how to coach. That's my point.
He's never known.
Well, he's never been good like that.
But at least they would win tournament games. At least they were safe to get to the Sweet 16 most years. Now they can't even get out of the first round.
Well, because
it's a joke.
The landscape has changed. And now,
then the coach got to change.
Well, I wonder if the game plan for him changes. Listen, I'm not going to defend Coach Calipari.
You are.
I don't
you
think
are
he's,
defending
I don't
Coach
think
Calipari.
He's been a good, I don't,
get out.
I don't think
get
he's
out of the
been
restaurant.
A good coach for a long time.
Go sit in your car for the next segment.
But I mean, just to spend somebody else's $33 million is so easy.
Well, it's really easy for me to do. I do it all the time.
It's their fault for signing him to that contract, too. I get it. But the truth is that these teams, they lost to a team that is full of 25-year-olds.
Yeah.
You know, and with the transfer portal, and maybe this is a byproduct that I didn't really see coming, maybe the best teams in college basketball are the teams that assemble a bunch of 25-year-olds instead of a bunch of 19-year-olds.
Oh, look,
because the one and done isn't going to be automatically you have the best team anymore.
And there's a reason nobody does this, because clearly it's hard to replicate, because I'm not the only person who's thought of it. But, like, yeah, why doesn't a Utah just say, well, we're going to take the Creighton approach, we're going to take the Dayton approach, we're going to take the Oakland approach, and get a bunch of these 6'3" guys. And look, they've had them, Nick Jacobson, you know, that we've seen these guys succeed locally in the past. But, like, yeah, just fill out your roster with these try-hard dudes and see if that gets you somewhere, because the 6'8" guys who don't know how to play aren't helping you. But some of these 6'3", 6'4" guys, Duquesne had a bunch of them who just know how to play. And look, Duquesne has two tournament trips in the last 50 years or whatever it was. It's not like they're
no, but the of type of team. But like UConn isn't necessarily a one-and-done destination.
No, they have some, but no, it's not been their only thing. So, yeah, good for Oakland. They're the story in the goal key kid who has the funniest shot chart I've ever seen in college basketball history. I had stunned, and then I realized a bunch of people tweeted this out, so I apologize. 97% of his field goal attempts this year were threes.
Yeah, all threes.
Because I looked at his shot. I looked at his field goal percentage.
He doesn't even
take
layups.
He shot 37% from the floor, and I was like, what? How does that guy, who's that sharp of a shooter, shoot 37% from the floor? Because he only shoots threes, and 37% from threes is pretty good. And he takes nine a game.
We're live. JCW's in Harriman. Come see us. Tournament game's going. We've got TVs everywhere. You can watch the games and enjoy delicious food. In fact, I'm going to go order something, I think, during the break. But come see us. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Freeze frame!
Thank you.
Jacob Ben, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. It's our 50th segment brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology in doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate. 801-566-1255, Peach Doors and Windows.
Shout out to our engineer down here, Sean, who's watching the wrong game. He's watching Florida Atlantic Northwestern, which has a combined 32 points in the opening 18 minutes of the game.
18 to 14.
No, technically it's closer than the Baylor-Colgate game, which is 23 to 12. But right now, Northwestern and FAU are a combined, 12 of 46 from the floor. So they're shooting below 28%. They're 2 of 20 from the three-point line, so they're shooting like the Jazz last night. They have, 14 turnovers to 12 made baskets. 14 turnovers to 12 made baskets combined.
That ain't good, Ben.
No, this looks like the Virginia Volunteers?
Cavaliers.
Cavaliers. Why am I thinking Volunteers?
Tennessee.
Virginia Cavaliers facing the Virginia Cavaliers in the opening round of this matchup.
I do have Tennessee winning it all, and they looked really good yesterday.
Yeah, they did. Don't connect. Cooking.
So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
I couldn't – I know you and everybody else has UConn, Ben. I wonder how many people lost Kentucky.
A lot. I didn't have Kentucky going that far. Losing to the Texas Tech.
As a champion. Because there's tons of people that just pick them random, because they've heard of them, right?
And because, again, their star back court. I mean, Reed Sheppard was maybe the most talked about player in college basketball this year. There's a couple of guys out there, but, he's this dynamo that had the worst game probably of his career, not just of his college career, probably that he's ever played at any level ever, and had it yesterday.
Have you ever lost a champion on day one?
I wonder if maybe, speaking of my beloved Cavalier Volunteers, picked Virginia when they lost as the one seed. I wonder if I did that a couple of years ago.
Of course you did. I'm trying to, let's see here. What was Chris Paul's last year at Wake Forest?
At Wake?
Because I picked them to win it all, and they either lost in the first or the second round. I can't.
I remember he punched Julius Hodge in the groin, but I don't think that was that game. That was earlier in the season.
He was, and speaking of NC State, right, Julius Hodge?
Yep. Feisty. Feisty Chris Paul.
Seriously. But anyway, that year might have been the closest. It was I thought Chris Paul was it. It's like, there they go.
There's the guard play.
There's the dude.
And Wake Forest is not a bad basketball program.
They're a little up and down. They weren't at the time, right?
Good players. Good NBA players. It's a good NBA program.
I don't know why I can't find it. But anyway, that team totally let me down. Thanks a lot. They were a 2 seed that year.
I've probably had some Duke teams going far. I've probably had some UNC teams going far that have been bounced relatively early. In fact, last year, didn't Duke get bounced really early?
Yeah, they did.
I may have had Duke win it all last year.
That might have been it. Yeah, because that's really debilitating when you lose it on day one, right?
It really makes you lose interest in your bracket.
Really, it's like, oh, really? First day and the champion is out?
How about Oregon? Oregon's cooking, man. Not that they really apply to us locally all that much anymore. I don't think we're going to talk a ton of Oregon sports going forward. Maybe just as we track the teams that went to the Big Ten, though I think we're more going to celebrate the downfall of USC, at least the expected downfall of USC. But Oregon, look, they're cooking. They've got Mike Creighton playing in the second round, and that's going to be a dangerous game. I could lose a championship contender in my championship bracket if Creighton goes down tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, okay. They lost to West Virginia. This was the second round, though. Okay, so they made it past the first. Way to go, Chris Paul. You stink. All right, we'll have more coming up next. Jacob Ben, Scotty G is going to jump on the show. Coming up at 11:30, so we'll talk a little Utah State. They've got a tough one coming up against TCU. They play in the second-to-last game of the first round, so they don't play until tonight. Don't miss your chance to win big every week on the KSL Sports Zone. This week on Win Ticket Wednesday, you can win a pair of tickets to go see A Day to Remember at Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater on July the 21st. Listen to the zone all day on Wednesday for your chance to win. More Jake and Ben coming up next, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.